Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, episode 13. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter.
And this is Steve Action Roberts. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
You can follow us on the podcast at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So we had a very fun-filled weekend, didn't we, Action?
Yeah, we got a lot of listener camaraderie in both Sunday night and Monday night watching some of the late football games.
That's right. Try to get some coasters out to some bars that allowed us to distribute them. Some were accepting and some were not accepting.
Yeah, Four Shadows on Sunday night was a little more accommodating with the coaster handouts, but the Four Corners bars weren't so nice about it.
Yeah, I'll be reaching out to Violetta. I know you're listening, Violetta. So you'll be hit up by me. We'll try to put some marketing meetings together so we can get this thing moving. But we had a great time. I mean, the game Sunday was, you know, kind of Bears domination. I did a lot of tequila shots that night.
Yeah.
And then last night was at West End. I guess it was Four Shadows, the first one, and then on Sunday. And then yesterday was at the West End here, Four Corners Bar. And, man, that game was incredible, the Kansas City Rams game. It was 105 points.
Crazy. It was kind of a contrast in styles between Sunday night. You had the defensive match where the Bears and the Vikings were playing super low scoring.
That's right.
Cold weather game. And then last night was just epic. That's everything right. That it lived up to be. I mean, it was billed to be one of the most entertaining games on the slate all year, and it surely lived up to it. I'm just sad for all the fans in Mexico City who missed out on it.
No doubt. One of the things, of the highlights of last night, we did have like, you know, seven or eight people last night. We had some coworkers and some friends, and it was great. Your roommate came out. We have a new person to follow on this podcast. We're calling him Broccoli Bob. So why do we call him Broccoli Bob?
Broccoli Bob was in his element last night, live betting all over the place. It was a bonanza of live betting. He was betting first drive outcome, yep. Second drive outcome.
He was.
What's the outcome of the next play? Yep. Run, pass, completed pass.
That's right.
Over the live total, left and right, which yep. Turned out to be very profitable.
It was.
Obviously, I think we were looking at it after every score. It went from 64 to 73 to 80, 84, mm-hmm. and even to 103.5 at one point.
Yeah, that was the final 103.5, and Broccoli Bob was yelling, broccoli, broccoli, broccoli for everybody every time he won a bet. He was happy with us. I mean, a couple times I told him to bet a run for a positive gain. That won him once, but then when he'd lose one, he'd get a little upset.
Yeah, the broccoli at West End was a little expensive, $5 for five florets of broccoli, and that's Bob right. was pretty upset about that. So every time we would score and win, we would buy broccoli for the whole bar.
That's right. But just a quick review action. So for our listeners, how does that live betting work on betting online or any outcome? I guess you could do it at the books as well.
Yeah, a lot of the offshore books have mobile apps that mm-hmm. you can use, which is really easy. You could do it on your desktop too. And they'll post live odds for any number of things. Some of these books will post odds for different plays or the next pitch in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And football, usually you can bet on the outcome of a drive or the next play, or live quarter totals, live half totals, and sure. live game totals as well, and even live spreads for the end of the game too.
Mm-hmm.
The only major difference is usually the vig is a little bit off, higher than normally. I've seen, especially at Bet Online, they'll average like -115 for most of the prices.
Okay.
And even can range up to like -120, -130 range occasionally, which is very difficult to win if you're laying those prices over time.
Right. One of the things we were talking about is, you know, kind of it locks up and kind of unfreezes and freezes at times. So you got to get in when you can. And then the other thing that Broccoli Bob was noting is that even if you win a bet in game, you don't get credited the money yet. You mm-hmm. have to wait till the full game is over. So you got to keep that in mind with your account balance.
Yeah, especially if you're betting those in-game totals. If you're going over, they're not going to pay you out right away. They right. won't pay you until that game goes final.
Exactly. So it was a lot of fun. We had a great time, and we'll be back. We'll be back at West End and hopefully some other Four Corners bars after Violetta gets us on the rotation. So, all right, let's review the overall pod here. We've got a brief legislative update. We'll recap our head-to-head, and again, a little preview, I'm getting killed. We'll look at takeaways from the NFL from Week 11. We do have a mailbag question this week. We'll recap the college football from Week 12, look ahead to Week 13, which is kind of the final week in the regular season. We'll look at the spots we're eyeing, and then we'll go back to the NFL, look at our basically the metrics we always look at, as well as jumping into key injuries. There were a couple of key injuries this week for sure. Our situational spots for the NFL in Week 12. Then a little bit about Survivor. Our head-to-head segment again for college and pro football. And then a hoops discussion for college hoops. And maybe a few NBA notes. Anything else on their action?
No, it's an action-packed full show today. So we better get rolling.
Let's get cracking. Let's start off with this legislative update. It says the Twin River Sportsbook in Lincoln, Rhode Island is officially open for business as of November 26th. That's Monday.
Yeah, this coming Monday, Rhode Island will be the next state that opens up. And awesome. This Twin River Sportsbook looks like it's going to be the first.
That's so awesome. That's the seventh state. So it looks like the East Coast is way ahead of us everywhere else, but that's great.
Yeah, our Midwestern counterparts need to jump in here so you and I can find a place to go and play some live bets.
Let's go, JB. You got elected. Get something done here. All right, so the recap of the head-to-head. Well, as I said, going into the week, I had a five-game lead, right?
Yeah, 24-19. And it's now 24-22-2.
That's right. So the first game we were looking at was Iowa State at Texas. Texas was favored by 3 points. I was very confident in my Cyclones since I thought for sure they'd be motivated to take down Tom Herman's team. I don't know what happened. They got destroyed, and Texas won 24-10.
Yeah, that Texas defense showed up on Saturday. They limited Brock Purdy and the Cyclones to 210 yards and a putrid 356 yards per play, which is well below the NCAA average.
Right.
Quarterback Ellinger hurt his shoulder in the first half, but the backup, you may remember, Shane Buechele, actually has some experience, and he came in and threw a touchdown of his own, and the Texas Longhorns won the game 24-10.
They did. They basically knocked out the hopes of Iowa State fans and my bets as well. Our next game in college was Cincinnati at Central Florida. This was the battle for the American title, basically. Central Florida was favored by 7 points at home, and they basically did what they've been doing for 2 years. They kind of destroyed Cincinnati at the Bearcats. They won 38-13. It wasn't really close at all, and unfortunately, the Bearcats just aren't in the same class as Central Florida.
Yeah, my man Mackenzie Milton was hot Saturday, 268 yards and accounted for 4 touchdowns.
Awesome.
And Cincinnati was in it early with a couple of turnovers and a blocked kick did them in the end, and they lost the game. And now UCF goes on still undefeated.
That's right.
And they're looking to nab their second fake national championship in a row.
They may be able to do that. They should be in, as we said, do they have a championship? I guess they might have to play Memphis or something in the American championship.
Yeah, that's right.
But they should be able to play in that New Year's Six bowl game. So we'll see if they can do it again and go undefeated for 2 years in a row and maybe force the committee to expand this to 8.
Yeah, maybe. I was watching game day on Saturday, and they have all kinds of banners all over campus that calls themselves national champions from last year.
Yeah, I heard that.
Can you believe that?
Well, they got to stake their claim. It happens, so.
Do you think they'll post some back-to-back national champions?
Yeah, that would be great. Back-to-back. I'm sure the t-shirts will come out back-to-back for the faithful out there.
I'm sure in the bowl game, they're going to be playing another Power 6 conference team, which doesn't want to be playing them.
Of course not.
And chances are good that they could probably win again and go undefeated again this year.
I agree. They're legit. Let's move to the pro game. And again, more wins for Steve here. Houston was favored by 2.5 on the road at Washington. I really felt strong about this handicap. And if you watch the game, I definitely felt stronger. The Texans' defense was playing great. They actually broke the ankle or two bones in the leg of Alex Smith in that game. And actually, it's 33 years to the day of Joe Theismann's leg break. Kind of weird.
Yeah, super weird.
But Colt McCoy came in and kept them close. You know, basically, Houston had a chance. They were up 23-21. They had a chance to kick a field goal to get my cover and my bet as well in Bet Online. and they missed it. So Colt McCoy actually had a chance to maybe win the game later.
Yeah, the Redskins came back down and had a chance, and I think they even had a field goal at the death that Hopkins couldn't convert on. So
right.
Too bad for us Indianapolis Colts fans, but Houston pulled out another miracle win, and it's just crazy how many games. I think that's seven or eight in a row now.
Seven straight. They were 0-3, and now they're 7-3.
And more than half of those, they probably should have lost.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the Colts when they didn't go for the tie. They went for the win, and then they end up losing that game. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of, like, late heroics, the Denver game. Yeah, it's just been a lot of tempting fate by the Texans. They get the depleted Titans this week, so probably win again. All right, the last game I actually got a push on. This was last night's game when we saw the fireworks where it was just an epic game. It's the first time, Kansas City against the Rams. Mm-hmm. The Rams were favored by 3 at home, and as we talked about, the total kept getting pushed up. The final was 54-51. That's the first time two NFL teams have scored 50 points in a game ever in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, and obviously the first time a team scores 50 and loses a game in the NFL. Ultimately, though, the Chiefs, it looked like they were going to pull out that game, but the turnovers really did them in. 5 turnovers on the night. 2 of them went for touchdowns.
They did.
And then all those penalties in the first half just really put them behind the eight ball. They had 13 penalties in the end, and that led to them losing the game.
Absolutely. One of the things I heard coming out of the game, we were watching the game, we were noting that, man, why aren't they using Todd Gurley? I mean, they really weren't running the ball at all. It was just Tuck and Chuck all day, and I did hear that he has a little bit of an ankle injury, I guess.
Oh, so
we got to add that for later. But he's they're on the bye now. Both teams are on the bye, which that's going to lower the scoring average for the league.
Yeah, no kidding. It gives all those guys a chance to rest after that whirlwind game last night.
That's incredible. All right, so with that push, we are 24-22-2. All right, let's move on to the NFL now in week 11. The first note I put in, the Saints are a machine. We talked a little bit about that Philly handicap. You know, they're 9 points, you know, getting 9 points on the road, defending champions. The Saints just like a hot knife through butter through that defense. And more importantly, they held the Philly offense to just 7 points.
Yeah, just an epic game. I was at yoga class. I missed most of the game, but I was looking over at my phone and seeing all these notifications pop up. Saints touchdown, Saints touchdown, Saints touchdown. And unfortunately for me, I had over 56 in that game and came up a point short.
Yeah.
Lesson for me to get the best of the number next time.
Well, as you know, Carson Wentz did throw an interception in the end zone on that last drive, and you could have had that over, but didn't work out.
Yep, next time we'll get him.
The big thing I want to note is Breeze should be the MVP. He's just playing at such a crazy level. Do you know he only has one interception this year?
And almost 80% completion. It's crazy.
Dude is awesome. So, I mean, Mahomes has had a great year, but let's root for Breeze. The next note I have is your team, Colts, they're balling. They're making it happen.
Yeah, 23 quarters now that Andrew Luck has not been sacked, which is quite the contrast from years prior when just seemed like was on his back all the time. It's amazing how much a healthy quarterback can help your team win.
And then in addition to that, you know, they're running the ball effectively. The defense played really well in this game. They did knock out Marcus Mariota, and you got Blaine Gabbert. You know, that might explain the 38-10 outcome. But I think they're prime. They can make a run at the division. Obviously, Houston's got to do a slip-up here and there, but they're right there for the wild card.
Yeah, I was looking at the records and the remaining schedules for both Houston and Indianapolis, mm-hmm. and Houston does have a pretty easy schedule, so I think it'll be tough for the Colts to come in there and win the division, but they're certainly right in the thick of things for the wild card race.
Yeah, I like them for that. One other game of note are the Chargers. You know, they were one of our teams we've been liking, and they still are good in the indices, but man, they just kind of gave that game up. They were up 19-7 against the Broncos at home. And they had terrible play calls down the stretch. I do think that Anthony Lynn is not a great coach. I mean, at least maybe, I don't know, maybe he's just not practicing hard enough or something. There was a critical kind of misdirection on a handoff to Gordon. And then they threw the ball inexplicably instead of running the clock down, giving the Broncos enough time to make that last second field goal, and it's just disappointing. I really want the Chargers to do better, but they always seem to be in the situation.
Yeah, Anthony Lynn is right up there with one of the poorest coaches in the NFL in terms of clock management, right there with Jason Garrett. and Mike Tomlin of the Steelers. Those three guys just do not know how to manage the end of game situations.
It's disappointing. Speaking of the Steelers, though, they look like they were going to get beat. The Jags were, you know, they were getting 6 points at home, which eventually they did cover that. They were up 16-0. They have a perfect script to beat the Steelers. They're running the ball with Fournette. He was getting the ball multiple times. I think he had 25, 27 carries in the game. He played a great game, but they just kept getting field goals. And in the end, the Steelers came back and stole this game, you know, 20-16.
Yeah, it's very demoralizing for the Jags. And I think ultimately this one will probably send their season into a tailspin if it wasn't there already.
Yep.
They had some slim hope to make the playoffs, but it's all but lost now. And a little preview there, that's going to be some motivation for the pick this week.
Oh, a little preview. The last one I wanted to talk about was the Bears. We did watch them on Sunday night. I've been talking them up in my index, and that's not by fabrication. They played a great game against the Vikings. All week, all the sharps were talking about, or betting on the Vikings. The Vikings were getting 3 on the road. And to be honest with you, this game wasn't close at all. It was just late in the game. The Vikings were able to make a push to get within 5. So they lost 25-20. The Bears now control the division. And I look at their schedule, I think they're walking into this division and into the playoffs.
Yeah, that defensive line is really good. Khalil Mack is just getting after the quarterback, and then the nose tackle as well. Akins,
Akeem Hicks.
Hicks is in there rushing the quarterback, and those guys just create havoc on every passing down. They can't be stopped.
They just totally shut down Dalvin Cook, too. So it basically made him one-dimensional, and they couldn't get it done. So
the team that we skipped over there was your Cowboys, too.
Oh, did I miss the Cowboys? I love the Cowboys.
Big win on the road this week against Atlanta and really took a stranglehold of the division now. I think they're a game back of Washington, but obviously they have them on the schedule this week, and they're now flipped to the favorite in the division with Alex Smith's injury.
We've been talking about the Cowboys. I love that defense. Van Der Esch is my guy. I think he might be pushing for Rookie of the Year, actually, and they're just shutting down teams right now. I mean, Atlanta had a great offense going in. They're playing at home. They held them to 19 points. Matt Ryan didn't quite look right. He did get a touchdown late in that game to pull it close, but basically the formula of running Elliott to death and playing good defense is working for them. And so if you say that they're going to win the NFC East, you said they're minus 110 now.
Yep.
That doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, if they win on Thursday, then they control their own destiny.
Absolutely. And Elliott looks like a workhorse. They could probably run him into the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we've got a mailbag question now. Mentioned in the last episode that Arizona and Oakland each have incentive to tank as they are battling for the worst record and the first overall pick in the draft. Are there tanking strategies that can be employed in the four major sports that gamblers should think about? How do you find those opportunities? What do you say, Action?
Well, there definitely is. We mentioned last week that both of these teams, Arizona and Oakland, were vying for the number one pick. And ultimately, it didn't really look like that on the field, though. I saw a little bit of the highlights, and Oakland actually had a pretty good performance, and it showed up in that game. So I was quite surprised to see that, and maybe we missed the mark on that one. But I will say that there are definitely tanking strategies in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
We see it every season, especially in the last month of the year, where some teams are just trying to lose. And if you can pick out those spots specifically in the NBA, I think there's some serious value there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the thing with the pro and football, one of the things about tanking that it works counter to tanking is most of these individual players have a lot of incentive-laden contracts. So they're going to try to meet their own numbers at least and compete on the field. So if they're just, you know, not making the tackles, not making the catches, they're not going to get paid as much. Mm-hmm. And it's such a mercenary league where performance is paid. In the other leagues, we have guaranteed contracts. I can see where it's a lot easier to make it tank. And you've mentioned the NBA for sure. You've also seen baseball. They kind of soft tank. I think late in the season, you're going to see when you got the farm team up for baseball. Mm-hmm. You always see that in September. So.
Yeah, I'll add too, for the NFL, the season is so short. These guys get 16 games to really prove themselves. And on top of that, their careers are so short too. It's another reason for them to play hard at every game throughout the season.
No doubt. I can't remember the player's name offhand, but I did hear somebody this week got cut from a team because he said, "We're tanking." And they cut him outright. So obviously the management doesn't want that kind of attitude to spread as well.
Absolutely.
let's go into the college football recap from week 12. First of all, Side Action did pretty well again, 5-3 this week. That's a great week. We didn't go 8-1 like the other time. But
yeah, still a profitable weekend in college football, and I would turn to profit this weekend as well. I think you did too.
I did too. I was 2-1 in college, so that's great. One of the first games that we noted was, and I think you were on this last week, Ohio State and Maryland. Ohio State's defense has been just atrocious, and to be honest with you, Maryland really should have won this game outright. It came down to overtime, and I mean, what happened in that game?
Yeah, I had a Maryland moneyline ticket. I was really hoping that they could pull it out, but they were just explosive all day and all night. McFarland busted off three huge runs.
Right.
And the backup, Pegram, was throwing bombs too. Ohio State just couldn't stop their offense. It was pretty wild. Ultimately, they lost in overtime 52-51 after they went for two to win the game.
And now they're going to be facing, obviously, we'll talk about this in the head-to-head. Did we decide to do that one?
Ohio State and Michigan will be talked about later.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, exactly. A game of note is the Citadel, the mighty Citadel, went into Alabama and was tied at the half with the Crimson Tide. That's the first time the Crimson Tide haven't covered the halftime spread all year. They didn't cover the 51 for the whole game. They actually won a game 50-17. But what do you think happened? They just let down and played the backups?
Yeah, I mean, this was a classic case of a letdown. I wouldn't downgrade Alabama one bit, even after that first half performance, because it was clear that they were just looking past the Citadel. It was really like a bye week for them. And I got to ask, though, are you moving Citadel up into the top 10 of the WEGS Index?
Yes, they're in the top 67,000 in the WEGS Index right now. But yeah, they've got a big game. You know, the Iron Bowl's this week. They're going to play Auburn. Auburn's not as good as it's been in the past, but you never know. You know, this is a rivalry game, and it always can bring out the best. Of course, Alabama's at home again. Seems like the whole year they've been at home.
Yeah, it does seem that way. And it's obvious that they're going to have motivation the rest of the year. They're playing the Iron Bowl. Then you have the SEC Championship and the College Football Playoff after that. So I don't see them having any more letdowns. And clearly, they're going to be looking to get right this weekend against Auburn. 24.5-point favorites right now.
Oof, it's a big number. All right, we both talked about my Rams, the Colorado State Rams, hosting the Aggies, Utah State. Last week, they were 28-point favorites or something going into Fort Collins, and we were dead wrong. Colorado State came up to play. I don't know what they did. I heard it was a rainy, snowy night, so maybe the weather impeded the Aggie offense or something, but the Rams were up late in this game, and then the Aggies scored late. They got on top 29-24. And Colorado State had a chance to win. They had a Hail Mary that they caught, but it was brought back on a penalty, and they lost the game. It was a heartbreaker, but they did cover the number. I heard that the money line bet for that game was plus 2,500, so you could have won some good money there.
That would have been a nice payday. Tough loss for the Side Action podcast, but we'll bounce back.
That's right. Oklahoma State also played a big game, and yeah, another one of my darlings, man. Will Greer, he can throw the ball, but man, that defense sucks. Oklahoma State won in the shootout. West Virginia was up big in this game. They had a 17-point lead and then a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, and they end up losing 45-41. Boy, I'm disappointed. I wanted to see one of these Big 12 teams make the Final Four, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't want to see that. They would just get wiped off the face of the earth. Those defenses can't hang with anybody. I mean, Oklahoma allowed 40 points to Kansas last weekend. Can you believe that?
I know.
And now these two teams play each other. Another high total, 83.5. It seems to be the highest total in college football this year. And they might score more than Kansas City and LA last night.
I think they might. Let's break 100.
I think we both like the over in that game. They just can't set it high enough.
Yeah, you have to. You have to. And then the other big game that we noted last week that was a winner, Notre Dame went into Yankee Stadium and just destroyed the Orange of Syracuse. I know that they had an issue with their quarterback, but I think that Notre Dame's on a mission. They're going to make the Final Four, and they just got to beat USC this weekend to do it.
Yeah, we know how good that offense has been under Book, but the defense was really awesome on Saturday, just limited Syracuse to nothing. Mm-hmm. And what do you think of the pinstripe pants?
Not a fan. No. I don't like those throwback pinstripes.
Yeah, Broccoli Bob noted to me that he really wanted the Golden Dome helmets to be on with the pinstripe pants. That would look pretty sharp.
Well, he could try that for a costume. Okay, when we look at our S&P rankings now, Mississippi State, who had a nice win, they moved up 8 spots to number 11 in the S&P index. Texas, they're up 8 spots as well with their big win over Iowa State, up to 33. UAB, one of the picks that I liked, it didn't happen. They dropped 15 spots down to 46 after their loss at Texas A&M. Minnesota dropped 14 spots from 53 to 67 after their loss to Northwestern. Utah State should have dropped. They dropped 12 spots to number 22 after the Colorado State game. So that makes our top five unchanged with Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Michigan, and Oklahoma. And then you noted that Notre Dame and UCF are 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
No real surprises there. Those are probably the best teams.
Yeah, obviously we know that Alabama and Georgia are going to play each other in the SEC championship.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Michigan, Ohio State this weekend. So a lot of this is going to shake out here over the next week and a half.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what spots do you like this week and basically the final – it's the final weekend, right, for the regular season?
Yeah, final regular season weekend. There are a couple of games. Obviously, the Army-Navy game comes up a couple of weeks after that, which I like the under in. I'll say it now. Always do. But for this week, the first one I picked out is a Thanksgiving Day feast game, which you should be able to set your pick and go to sleep early because Mississippi State is going to roll over Ole Miss.
Right
now, they're laying 10.5 points. And although Ole Miss has a pretty good offense, with 8th ranked, there's only 2 times this season that they've played good defenses in Mississippi State. And Alabama and LSU, they lost by a combined score of 107 to 23. The Bulldogs have a strong defensive front and have an 11.4 passing down sack rate, and they're going to get after the quarterback of Ole Miss, Jordan Tamu. He'll have pressure in his face all day, and I think he'll be able to disrupt that passing game.
I can't argue with that. Mississippi State's a really good team. They had a bad game against LSU. They played Alabama tough, but they're just in another class than Ole Miss, so I can see that for sure.
Yeah, on the other side of the ball, too, they have the 3rd ranked rushing attack, and Ole Miss ranks 116th in stopping the run. They're going to run all over them and just run this score out of the gym.
Yeah, 300 yards rushing this game, I see. Okay, your next spot is another one of these more obscure games. Southern Miss is... they're 13-point favorites at UTEP. What's the handicap on this one?
Really, this is just a fade of UTEP. They're probably the 2nd worst team in the NCAA this year. Southern Miss has a motivational edge here where they need 1 win to get to 6 and go to a bowl game. UTEP has 1 win this year, and that was over Rice. I think we both know how bad Rice is.
Hey, but they did cover against LSU.
That's true. We got the cover last weekend, but... they're bad, and so is UTEP. Mm-hmm. They lost to Western Kentucky, Texas San Antonio, and New Mexico State. Mm. And Southern Miss does have a pretty decent defense, 16th in defensive efficiency compared to UTEP's 125th ranked offense.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to hold them down and hopefully easily cover this 13-point spread.
It seems a little bit low with all those metrics you're throwing out there. Our next big game is Notre Dame. They're 10.5-point favorites at USC. I don't know what to say. I love Notre Dame. I'm not a Notre Dame fan. I grew up a Michigan fan. You have to hate Notre Dame. But this year, in terms of betting and booking, I'm all over Notre Dame as well. I think this number's too low. USC is – I think the coach is on the hot seat, to be honest with you. They lost to UCLA last week. That was a heartbreaker. And, Clay Helton, see ya.
Yeah, this is an incredible motivational spot for Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
They have all to play for.
They do.
They need to go undefeated to secure that spot in the college football playoff. And they need to do it in style, too, if they're trying to hold off Michigan for that 3 seed, because it's obviously the 2-3 seed is going to be much more valuable to avoid Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And added into that, USC really is playing for nothing. Clay Helton is a lame duck coach. I think it's pretty clear that he's out. So what do these Trojan players have to play for on Saturday night?
Yeah, they look like they gave up on Saturday against UCLA. It was not nearly the level of competition as Notre Dame. So I expect more of the same. In fact, I've already made this bet.
On top of all of that, Notre Dame also has a serious matchup advantage. They're ranked 3rd in S&P Plus defense, 8th in pass defense, and 4th in defending explosiveness. And USC's quasi-strength is 59th ranked passing game is going to be neutralized by that Notre Dame defense, just like they did in Syracuse last week.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Another game you like is Miami. They're 5.5-point favorites at home against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's kind of a darling. They're actually, I think they pushed into the top 25 or something like that, which is ludicrous. They're not very high in the S&P. What's your idea on this one for the handicap?
Yeah, another situational spot. You'll notice it's kind of the trend this week. You know, these numbers do tell a story, but especially in college football this time of the year, you got to look at the motivational edges that some of these players have. And Pittsburgh has locked up the ACC Coastal Division and booked a spot in the ACC Championship against Clemson next week.
Okay.
So huge look-ahead spot for them. They don't really have much to play for here. And Miami's defensive line is very tough, and I think that they should be able to hold down Pittsburgh's run attack. Pitt has the 11th ranked rushing offense, but the Canes D-line should be able to stop them.
Okay, I like that. I like that as well. Arizona is a two-point dog at home against Arizona State. This is, you know, in-state rivalry. Obviously, Herm Edwards has been making the Sun Devils play better this year. What's your handicap on this one? Why would you give them? Well, I guess they're at home with the points.
Yeah, home dog here. Arizona is also 5-6, so looking for that sixth win to get to the bowl eligibility. So there's a motivational spot there too. And Khalil Tate has been better the last few weeks. If you throw out the Wazoo game from last weekend where they looked terrible, the passing game has been improved, and they should find some success against Arizona State this weekend. They have the 95th ranked pass defense, and I expect Tate to have some hay there.
Sounds like it. This is one we're both on. Virginia, 3.5-point favorites at Virginia Tech. This number can be up as high as 4. To me, the Hokies can't stop anything, so they basically get trounced every week now, and it doesn't matter who they play. Virginia is actually playing for something. They're probably trying to get a better bowl game. They've been playing a lot better. I don't know if there's anything else that you've added here. Looks like you have.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard, but Virginia Tech has 4 wins, and if they win this weekend, then they'll play another game, which was canceled early in the year, against Marshall to try to get bowl eligible.
Interesting.
So these kids have been playing all year below expectations, and obviously there's some turmoil in the locker room between the head coach and the defensive coordinator. And do you really think that they're going to come out with motivation to think they can win this week and then play Marshall next week? I don't think so. So I'm on Virginia here. I think that they're going to come out and run through Virginia Tech. They don't have the best offensive metrics, but they can definitely move the chains with that run game, and they should be able to move the ball quite effectively against Virginia Tech, as you mentioned.
All right. We will save the Apple Cup for later. One more spot that I like, I'm not sure if you're with me on this one, is that our darlings are back in action. Utah State, they're 2.5-point dogs at Boise State. I think they got past that scare with Colorado State. It was a wake-up call of sorts. If Utah State wins at Boise, they're going to be in the championship game against Fresno. They can still basically play in that, you know, New Year's Six bowl game. I think they're a really solid team. I really like them in this spot. And I think that Boise did defend the turf against Fresno, but I think it's a little bit different animal against Utah State.
Yeah, this Utah State offense is good. They're ranked 10th in success rate and 8th in finishing drives, averaging 5.5 points per scoring opportunity. And I looked at Boise's defensive metrics, and they're 104th in passing marginal explosiveness. So Utah State should be able to be a little explosive here and score on some big plays, which is obviously going to help them cover this 2.5.
All right, let's do it.
I'm with you.
Good. Let's look ahead to the NFL Week 12. Let's review the yards per play statistics net for, you know, our favorite teams. The Chargers are number one now, 1.2. Pittsburgh is 1.2 as well with them. Kansas City's at 1. That makes sense. There were a lot of yards yesterday. They probably went down. Chicago at 0.8. Green Bay at 0.7. And it says the Saints are 11th at 0.2, okay? And the Rams are 6th at 0.6. So they're still in the mix. The bottom five are the usual suspects. Oakland, minus 1.1, despite the win. Arizona, there's that other team, minus 0.9. Detroit, minus 0.9. Buffalo, minus 0.7. And Miami, minus 0.7. Anything stick out from this list for you?
Yeah, I find it interesting that your Chicago Bears are continuing to move up the list.
I told you.
0.8 yards net per play now. Looking good. Kansas City stays up there too, even with that horrible defense.
They put so many yards up. It's just kind of incredible. I mean, even last night, that Mahomes had almost 500 yards passing. So, Well, for me, the WEGS index, it's, you know, fairly usual at the top with the Bears 2 weeks in a row, but the Saints finally show up as number two. I think that last week's outing, where they basically limited the Eagles to no yardage at all in the game, that really boosted their metrics. The Steelers are at three, the Chargers are at four, and the Rams are at five. I will note that the Chiefs are actually down at 11 after last night's, you know, giving up all those yards. So
wow, interesting. Do you think that they could still be Super Bowl contenders even though they're down right now in the metrics?
I do. I think that the Chargers and Steelers are really good football teams. However, it's looking to me, unless the Chiefs have a, you know, a couple slip-ups, they're going to have home field advantage. Going through Arrowhead is going to be a lot different animal. The only thing I could say is if the Patriots can somehow get themselves together, mm-hmm. we'll see how they look after the bye, and maybe could steal home field advantage. Maybe the Patriots can do it. I just don't trust Mike Tomlin in big spots. I don't think he can actually outcoach Belichick or Andy Reid. And the Chargers, unfortunately, like they did this weekend, I don't trust them in a big spot. They're going to win maybe a playoff game, but when it comes down to it, they're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, kind of a homer call here, but I would love to see that Colts offense go up against that Kansas City defense. They can put up so many points against them.
Well, that might be a first round or maybe a second round matchup if they could get through the wild card for your Colts.
That'd be cool.
Okay, we have some notable injuries this week. Alex Smith, as we talked about, broke his leg, his tibia and fibula. So it looks like his career could be in jeopardy. He's definitely out for the year. Marcus Mariota, I guess he had a stinger. That's mm-hmm. what they said. Originally, it looked like it was his elbow injury again, but it's reported that it's a stinger in his neck. But he's probably going to miss this game at the Texans. That's not a good spot for Blaine Gabbert. A.J. Green, I believe, is supposed to return this week. Believe it or not, the Bengals are still in the playoff race.
Yeah, and now they have Coach Hugh Jackson in their midst who can help them along their offensive. And, you know, he obviously knows the Bengals and the rest of those divisional teams.
That's true. And guess who they play this week? They play the Browns.
The Browns.
Jason Kelce for the Eagles, looks like he dislocated his elbow. I'm not sure if he's going to miss the game, but they were already struggling with the running game. They do play the Giants this week. Maybe they don't need him, but if they're going to make any playoff push, they've got to start running the football more effectively. And then, as you noted, Mitch Trubisky looks like he may miss the game on Thursday at the Lions. He didn't practice today. It's a super short week. What do you think about Chase Daniels? Do you think he's got a shot to still lead him to the victory?
Yeah, we talked about this before we jumped on. I saw Chase Daniel play in the preseason against Kansas City, and he lit them up in the first half.
He did.
Granted, we know that Kansas City's defense is pretty porous. However, you know, this line move, as it appears as of right now, is going down to 3.5, maybe 3, and as you mentioned, could go even further. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's really warranted the downgrade from Mitch Trubisky to Chase Daniel that many points. I mean, Trubisky's been good, mind you, but Daniel is an accurate quarterback, and their game is centered around those short passes to the running backs,
right.
Cohen out of the backfield. So I think that Chase Daniel could run this offense easily.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit in the head-to-head, but I do believe that, for me, Chase Daniel's been in this offense forever. I think he was a backup first in Philly, and then he was a backup in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. So he knows the offense backwards and forwards, so it's not going to be that difficult for him to step in. We'll see. What's your situational spots for Week 12 for the NFL?
I think one game we're both on Thursday on Thanksgiving is the Washington Redskins plus 7.5 at Dallas. The Cowboys are 0-7 in the last 7 years on Thanksgiving against the spread, that is.
Yeah.
And 3-4 straight up. So the look ahead line on this game was Dallas -5. And obviously the adjustment comes through Alex Smith being injured and Colt McCoy now coming in as a quarterback.
Just as we said with Chase Daniel, Colt McCoy has beaten this team on Monday night before. He's a capable backup, probably one of the better backups out there. I love Dallas. I totally love them. I love their defense, really more an underdog spot. When you're talking about 7.5 points, this team doesn't run away from teams. They blew out the Jags early in the year. That was the only game I can think of that they were kind of on top of the score that much. So I agree with you, man. 7.5 is just way too many points.
Yeah, divisional game, just too many points to lay in a divisional game.
That's right. All right, New England is at the Jets. They are laying 9.5 points at the Jets. What's your handicap on this one?
Bill Belichick, bye week, New England Patriots, and now they're going against the hobbled Sam Darnold. I think Bill Belichick has drawn up a number of things on defense that's going to confuse the heck out of him.
That's right.
And New England has been pretty good stopping the run this year too, which is really the one area where the Jets have excelled mm-hmm. in many of their wins. So I think that New England's going to come in here and beat them very easily and cover the 9.5.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. New England's, this is the stretch run. They basically time out their season for this, the last month of the season or so. They're going to roll for the playoffs, and they're still pushing for that home field advantage. So they're going to try to trounce this team. Tampa's 3.5-point favorites at home against San Francisco. You have the look-ahead line for this was actually 5 points. Why do you think it went down?
Well, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers lost to the mm-hmm. Giants this past weekend.
Sure.
And I don't know if that warrants a 1.5-point move. We talked about it. Tampa Bay put up tons of yards against the Giants. Famous Jameis came in and relieved Fitzpatrick and brought them back again. Of course, 5 turnovers didn't help again.
Of course.
But it's clear that this Bucs offense can move the ball. And unfortunately, I find myself betting on them every week. But I think this Tampa Bay offense really should be able to do some work against San Francisco. Also, you add in that San Francisco is traveling across the coast to the East time zone for an early kick. Mm-hmm. And it's just a bad spot for those body clocks.
I agree with you. I think that Tampa's offense is definitely clicking. The defense stinks. But can Nick Mullins and the crew put up enough points to keep up? I mean, it might be a fun game to watch in terms of the total, but it just seems like they're going to get run out on this one.
Yeah, fire up George Kittle for those of you fantasy players out there.
I got him on one team. All right, Buffalo, they're actually getting 3 points at home against Jacksonville. It looks like Josh Allen's back in the mix. You got to wonder if Jacksonville is done. You know, if they're done mm-hmm. for the year. They put up 2 game efforts. They played tough at the Colts but lost. Last week they should have won. There's all that internal strife talking about, you know, trading, what's his name, the cornerback?
Ramsey,
mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey, and all this stuff. So is that your basis for the handicap here?
That's where I started. Jacksonville Jaguars have to be crushed after that outcome last weekend. They had so many chances to win that game. Mm-hmm. And you and I both talked about the game plan was very clear that they were not going to let Blake Bortles throw the ball and lose them the game.
That's right. That's right.
So where does that lead them to running the ball? Mm-hmm. And this Buffalo Bills defense is stout. I can tell you they have the number 2 ranked DVO defense going up against the Jaguars. And they're obviously going to stack the box knowing that the Jags have to run the ball. And they're going to force Blake Bortles to beat them. And what do you have playing in the defensive backfield? It's the number 1 ranked pass defense. Mm-hmm. So these Buffalo Bills, I know they're bad.
They
have some of the worst yards per play metrics in the league, but this defense playing at home, they're going to be motivated coming out of the bye. They get their quarterback back, who's obviously even better than Peterman, mm-hmm. even though Barkley was good the week before the bye.
Right.
I think the Bills can cover this number.
Okay. I don't hate this move. I think it's a stay-away spot for me, but I do understand what you're saying. I think that Buffalo, the key is not turning the ball over. If they don't turn the ball over, they usually are in the game, mm-hmm. and they can keep it close. It's just been the turnover, especially Peterman, who's not on the team anymore. Okay, we're going to pick the Bears game later. One of the spots I like, according to my index, is the Steelers are 3-point favorites at Denver. For me, this looking at the differential in my index, I do think this should be a bigger total. I know that they're at Denver, but to me, Denver came off kind of a big win. They're going to come home. The Steelers, I think that them squeaking by the Jags was kind of a wake-up call, to be honest with you. And I think they're going to go into Denver and smash this team. So 3 points is not enough. I'll definitely lay the 3 points.
I like this one, too. The Steelers have been playing really well, and they're obviously on a mission mm-hmm. to win that division and hopefully even eclipse New England for that number 2 seed.
Yeah, I think they are right now on paper, if I'm not mistaken, because I think New England has 3 losses, don't they?
Mm-hmm. And the tie.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh has the tie. So they're ahead of them right now in the standings, so they want to stay that way. They do face off against each other, don't they?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think they might. All right, we've got the Survivor segment. I like the Ravens at home against Oakland. They're 11-point favorites. What do you think about that one?
I like the Ravens a lot. Obviously, the quarterback situation is still up in the air,
sure.
but everything I'm reading looks like Flacco should be ready to go this weekend. I don't know that the gimmick Lamar Jackson offense will survive another week. So if you're picking the Ravens, I would bank on Flacco being in there. I don't know if I'd run with Lamar Jackson.
Okay. Okay. And then the other one I spot, we said the before the pod, I guess, the Texans are now 6 to 7 point favorites against the Titans at home. It looks like Mariota probably won't play. If he doesn't play, then I would definitely pick this one as a survivor game. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if he's in there, then it'll probably be a much closer game. All right, let's move to the head-to-head. So we've got some big games on the slate here. The first one is Michigan is on the road at Ohio State. This is the game of the year for these teams. Michigan is favored by 4 points. We know how Ohio State's been playing. What say you on this one, Action?
I'm going to take the Buckeyes at home. Urban Meyer has been an underdog at Ohio State a total of 6 times in his career at Ohio State, and they are 6-0 straight up in those games.
Okay.
So
motivation.
Motivation there. Urban Meyer and this Ohio State Buckeyes teams have never lost to Michigan. And I think that they know what their destiny is. If they win this game, they win the Big Ten championship, then they're going to be staring at a berth in the college football playoff. Everything is on the line here. I know that their defense is horrible, but usually it's that explosiveness that has did them in. Obviously, the Maryland game, right, the Purdue Boilermakers exposed them in the explosiveness department. And the one thing that I note about this Michigan offense is they're not very explosive.
Not really.
They're very methodical. They move the ball down the field slowly. So they don't really have the offense that can take advantage of this Buckeye defense. And that's why I'll be on them.
You know, from the beginning of the season, I talked about I can't trust the khakis. You know, I haven't trusted them all season. However, I bet on them a couple times. This is it. If it's not now, then when? I mean, this is their chance. They're better than Ohio State on every metric you've got. They have a great defense. They're on the precipice of the, you know, Final Four here in the college playoff. I mean, I got to pick them. And I think that if they lose this one, I'm telling you, man, those Michigan fans, it's going to be crying for, I mean, then they'll never beat them. You know what I mean? It's one of these things. It's the bugaboo. So, yeah, to me, it's just got to happen this year. And it'll be the one time. And maybe I'll give it a chance to get to the playoff and do something for Harbaugh and the gang.
It's going to be a great game.
Absolutely. One of the games that we have on Friday, there's a lot of games on Friday in college football. We've got the Apple Cup. That's Washington at Washington State. It's kind of a very similar game, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Washington State is a 3-point favorite at home this time. This is Washington State's year. To me, this is their chance. Mike Leach has never beaten Washington. It's very much like Harbaugh. Same basic dialogue. If not, you know, now, then when? I mean, this is their big chance. I think they're better than Washington, although the S&P Plus would say otherwise, which is kind of interesting. It's hard to kind of wrap my mind around it. But for me, I think Washington State is a team of destiny. Mike Leach is a crazy man. He's putting mustaches in post-game shows and all this kind of stuff. He's kind of a kook, but I think they got it for the Cougs. What do you say?
Yeah, Washington State is definitely going to have some enthusiasm and be ready to go in this game. I have no doubt Mike Leach is going to get them pumped up to play. But I'm going to take the Washington Huskies. Like you mentioned, they're ranked higher in the S&P Plus, 10th versus Washington State at 20. And the matchup here is going to be the classic Gardner Minshew, quarterback of the Cougars, versus that number one rated passing defense of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a great matchup to watch. And to me, I think that Washington defensive backfield is superb, and they're going to stop the Cougars and win this game outright.
Man, you're calling for a money line bet right there.
Yeah, I may. I mean, I'll definitely take the 3 points, but I like Washington to win this.
Okay. All right, let's get to the pros. Now, this comes close to my heart as well. The Bears are traveling on the road to Detroit. We've talked about the Mitchell Trubisky injury. We'll see what happens. They are 3.5-point favorites on our grade as the line is ticked down. What say you on this one, Action?
I'm going to take the Lions. I got to be honest with you. Before we sat down here tonight, I liked the Lions a lot at 4, 4.5, I saw in some books today. Didn't get on it soon enough, but I came home to see Mitchell Trubisky did not practice today, and he's going to be out. I know Kerryon Johnson's going to be out too. Yep. We didn't talk about that earlier.
Marvin Jones too.
Yep. Marvin Jones. But this Lions defense plays okay. They showed up last weekend against Cam Newton, and I think they'll be able to stop the Bears a little bit. it's going to be a low scoring game, and I like the hook here at 3.5. And I'm certainly, I mean, a home divisional dog is just too hard for me to pass up.
Yeah, I get the handicap. I do. I just think the Bears are, they're just better than this team. And I think that, yes, the 3.5 might be the number that, that kills me. I did get lost in some hooks last week, but I think this team's going to dominate the Lions. I mean, 2 weeks ago or 11 days ago or something, they beat the crap out of them in Soldier Field. Khalil Mack is healthy. They're playing good offense. I think Chase Daniel will not be that big of a step down for Trubisky being out. I like it. I know that Detroit's really good on Thanksgiving. However, I just think that they're not very good. So we'll see. I'll be watching for sure. I'll be in Las Vegas with my family and watching this game, no doubt.
I'll add, too, just before we move on, irrespective of our head-to-head, mm-hmm. this could be a good spot for a middle. If you jump on this Lions line right now and get mm-hmm. the plus 3.5,
sure.
by Thursday morning, there's a good chance it could be closer to a pick 'em. You mm-hmm. could easily come back on the Bears and have a nice middle with that field goal there.
Absolutely. I agree with you. The last game we're going to pick is Carolina. They're at home. They are 3.5-point favorites against Seattle. What say you in this one, Action?
I'm going to take Carolina at yeah. home. This one's kind of a stinker, too, after that Panthers performance last week. But yeah. Carolina's home splits this year have been amazing.
They
crush teams at home. Their offense plays on another level, and McCaffrey gets going. Obviously, we know that Seattle can run the ball, but historically, Seattle has really struggled on the road in Carolina.
They have.
And I think that may come to fruition again this weekend. I'm going to take Carolina minus 3.5. What do you think?
I like Seattle. They're kind of like Dallas for me. They're one of those teams that's just better than their record indicates. For me and my index, they're actually better than Carolina. So they should be either favored or should be close to a pick. I know it's in Carolina, so there's that natural 3-point thing. Obviously, they have to follow a certain script usually to win. They run the ball effectively, but you know they also can run around. I mean, Russell Wilson can chuck it, and for some reason, Carolina's defense the last 2 weeks has been exposed. I thought they were a really good team going to that Pittsburgh game, you know, Thursday night a couple weeks ago, and mm-hmm. and Detroit too. I mean, they're giving up huge pass plays, you know, back to back to back. So I like Seattle in the spot. I won't go money line here, but I'll definitely take the 3.5. You know, kindly.
All right. Well, we got a couple of hooks on the NFL card this week, so it could go bad for both of us.
It could. It could. All right, let's transition into basketball. We'll start with college hoops. It's Happy Feast Week, as you say here. There's a lot of big tournaments going on this weekend, which is awesome. They actually started mostly over the last weekend, right, into tonight.
Yep.
What spots are you looking at here?
Well, first of all, I want to say goodbye to the midweek action. Tonight is the last night, as you may know. Ball State and Miami, Ohio are playing on the TV in the background here. But out with midweek action and in comes Feast Week, the second greatest week of the year.
Okay.
Behind March Madness, of course. I just want to point out the Big Ten's hot start. Michigan dismantled Villanova last week. It was 44-17 at halftime, and they held on for a 73-46 win over the defending national champions.
Yep.
Not only that, they followed up with a big win at Providence, and some of the other Big Ten teams have big wins too. Iowa was impressive in New York City with wins over Oregon and Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin beat Xavier, and Ohio State has two big wins, one over Cincinnati and Creighton. Now, moving forward, this week is going to be a little bit difficult for the Big Ten to continue that momentum. Some of the teams have some tough games. Illinois is out in Maui.
Yeah, they actually pushed Gonzaga last night. They had mm-hmm. a good game against Gonzaga.
Michigan State's got a tough matchup with UCLA this week as well. So I'll be watching the Big Ten teams to see if they can carry that momentum into conference play.
I definitely said fade the Big Ten this year. I could be eating those words, which is fine. That's okay. I'll root for the local squads. But it appears that there's some new talent in the league, and that's good. It's a young talent. They're playing well. I mean, Michigan doesn't surprise me because Beilein's one of the best coaches in the country. He's just amazing. It doesn't matter who he brings in. They just run that system mm-hmm. so well, and they play great defense. But like you said, some of these other spots – maybe these other programs are overrated. Villanova clearly is. They've yep. lost a couple of games. You know, they're not nearly as good. So I like that action.
One thing I want to add, too, for these neutral court tournament games is unders tend to do really well. Mm-hmm. So it's an unfamiliar gym for a lot of these teams. They're playing at unfamiliar times too. Sure, a lot of these tip-offs are like 11 a.m. So the body clocks aren't quite right, and unders tend to hit a lot more. I've been doing quite well already this week.
That's great. They've been talking about that out in Maui for sure. So what spots are you eyeing? You've got a couple of ideas here.
Yeah, a couple of random things. Tomorrow morning, Wednesday, there's a tip-off between Texas San Antonio and Florida Gulf Coast, and I'm going to be playing the over if it's anywhere near 165. Both of these teams run, and they both play horrible defense. three-point shooting is close to the 40 percentile for both offense and defense on this squads, and it's going to go way over.
That's great. Dunk City, I like that. And then you've put Furman on here. I mean, that when's the last time we saw these guys on this
I don't think we've ever talked about Furman, but they beat Villanova this past week.
Yeah, they're good.
They also beat Loyola, two Final Four teams from last year. Quite impressive. And they face a terrible UNC Asheville team on Sunday, which we actually faded this past weekend as well.
Good.
UNC Asheville is one of the worst rebounding teams in the nation, according to KenPom.
Okay.
And I love looking at rebounding metrics when I'm making basketball bets.
That's good.
And
good fundamental.
I'm going to look at laying 12 points or more with Furman.
All right. I like Furman. Yeah, I've followed them in the past in some of these conference tournaments. So that's great that they're doing some good work early. You also have got the Vols, Tennessee.
Yeah, this one I hope comes to fruition. It's the Madison Square Garden NIT tip-off tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And if Tennessee and Kansas meet in the final, which I hope they will and expect they will,
okay,
I'm going to be looking to play Tennessee as an underdog.
Okay, but you take the points, not as like a money line situation.
I would consider dabbling on the money line too, but I'm expecting Kansas maybe a 4 or 5 point favorite, and I'll definitely scoop up those points.
The Vols are definitely good. I just wonder, I mean, it's early in the season. We'll see. Kansas is a really talented team. So, I mean, I like these early tournaments because you're seeing teams play from different conferences, and it's early, but you know, you see the talent on the floor. You know, that's what's great about it. You know, when they get into conference play, the games are more competitive, and it's, you know, kind of that style of play. But I love seeing these interconference plays.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun.
All right. Our last grouping is the NBA. You've got some various notes I've put, you know, with Steph Curry being out, that Golden State lost 3 in a row, which is nuts. If you look at the standings, Portland, the Clippers, and Grizzlies, I mean, these are not teams we were thinking about early in the season.
Yeah, the Portland Trailblazers are playing really well right now, and they tend to win night in and night out. They're on this East Coast road trip right now and just covering numbers left and right. It's amazing.
I heard that Dame Lillard is like 12 or 13 to 1 to win the MVP, and he's playing an incredible level. So they talked about on Visa and get in on that action now, because it'll probably drop into the, you know, 7-8 range soon.
Interesting. I like it.
Sacramento. Yeah, we were watching them last night at West End. They're getting it done.
Yeah, very surprising team. They're 10-6-1 against the spread, and they are just upsetting teams left and right. They're winning games too, not just ATS numbers.
Mm-hmm. They've got that young talent. I mean, I loved Aaron Fox. He's great. We saw Buddy Hield last night. They were standing toe-to-toe with Oklahoma City. Yeah, I mean, the plan is working for them. They're starting to get better.
Mm-hmm.
You've also got the Magic. They're 9-8 against the spread.
Yeah, I've been eyeballing some Magic wins too, here and there. Obviously, very close to 500, but in certain situational spots, they're a good play too here early in the season.
And then the Wizards. Well, they're 5-11 against the spread. John Wall flipped off his coach or yelled profanity at him or something.
Yeah, I read that this morning. There's clearly something wrong with this Washington team. And for some reason, the odds makers are still giving them the credit that they've had in the past couple of seasons.
Right.
And right now, they're just a horrible 5-11 against the spread.
Yeah, Scott Brooks has no control of that team, and it's just getting destroyed, broken up. Lastly, you got Milwaukee. What do you got to say about them?
Milwaukee Bucks looking good.
Greek Freak.
And scoring points like crazy. They're 12-4 to the over this season. The 75%, crazy numbers.
Yeah, they're definitely legit good, and they're scoring a ton, so it's exciting. All right, well, that wraps up a very fruitful and large episode of the Side Action Podcast. Please follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. rate us, tell your friends about everybody. We're making some good picks here. We're trying to make you some money. I can tell my own personal thing. Since we started the pod, I've doubled the money I put in Bet Online.
All right.
It wasn't a lot, but it's still twice as much as I had before.
Profit is profit.
Follow me personally at wegspool.com on Twitter.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
For everybody, have a happy Thanksgiving and enjoy your family and friends. Hopefully travel safely and eat plenty of good food.
And make sure to tell all your family and friends about the Side Action Podcast that's winning you all this money and lining your bankroll.
That's right.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. License under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.